All right, everybody, get ready because today we are going deep on a case that's basically legendary in the legal world.
It is a big one.
It is Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. v. Public Service Commission of New York. We've got a whole bunch of articles and notes here, and I got to tell you,
A lot of material.
a lot of material. This case is wild. And it all starts back in the 1970s with an energy crisis. Kind of feels familiar, actually,
Yeah,
right?
it does.
Fuel shortages, prices going through the roof, everyone trying to figure out how to conserve energy.
Totally. And that crisis really shook things up. It forced this like showdown between the government's power to regulate and the First Amendment right to free speech, especially for businesses.
Yeah. And that brings us to like the central question we're going to tackle in our deep dive today.
All right, lay it on me.
Can a state actually just ban companies from advertising something that's totally legal? Like electricity, just because they think it's like in the public interest.
Ooh, that's a good question. That's the million-dollar question, and Central Hudson really wrestled with it. And to get the case, you really got to get the context. So, the New York Public Service Commission, we'll call them the PSC, they were all about energy conservation.
Okay.
They wanted to make sure the rates for electricity were fair. So, they did something pretty drastic.
Oh boy.
They banned all promotional advertising by utility companies. Basically, they told those companies, nope, no more ads encouraging people to use more electricity.
Whoa, that's a big move. So how did Central Hudson, a utility company, respond to that, having their advertising basically shut
Well,
down?
they weren't going to go down without a fight.
I wouldn't either.
They sued the PSC, saying, hey, this ban totally violates our First Amendment right to free speech. They argued that even companies have a right to talk to the public, especially when it's about legal products and services.
So it wasn't even just about selling more electricity. It was about a basic principle of free speech.
Right, exactly.
What happened next? Did the courts agree with Central Hudson?
So at first, the lower courts sided with the PSC. They thought, well, regulating utilities, especially during a crisis, that's totally within the government's power. But Central Hudson, they kept pushing it. And finally, the case landed in the Supreme Court.
Ah, the Supreme Court.
Yep.
That's where things get interesting. I'm guessing the court didn't just side with the ban, did they?
You're right about that. In a pretty big 8-1 decision, the Supreme Court struck down that ban. But what's really fascinating is how they got to that decision. They created this 4-part test, now it's famous, the Central Hudson test.
I've heard of this.
It's still used today to decide if restrictions on commercial speech are actually constitutional.
Okay, a four-part test. This is what I'm talking about. Sounds like a framework lawyers can really get into. Can you break down the test for us?
All right. So the first part of the test asks, is this speech protected by the First Amendment? Meaning, the ad has got to be about something legal and it can't be misleading.
Makes sense.
In this case, using electricity was totally legal, and Central Hudson's ads weren't deceptive, so they were good on that part.
Okay, so you can't like falsely advertise or mislead people.
Right.
But what's the second part of the test?
So the second part looks at the government's reasons. It asks, is the government's interest substantial? Like, is there a really good reason for the government to restrict this speech? The court agreed, yeah, saving energy is a big deal.
For sure.
But they weren't so sure about the PSC's argument about fairer rates.
So they were like, okay, saving energy, we get it. But we're not sure this ban is going to actually lead to fairer prices.
Yeah, basically.
What about the third part of the Central Hudson test?
The third part gets into how effective the regulation actually is. It asks, does this regulation actually advance what the government's trying to do? So the court acknowledged, all right, the ban, it did seem to reduce energy use, but the connection to fairer rates? Much weaker. It wasn't a clear-cut cause and effect.
So even if the government has a good reason, they can't just restrict speech if it doesn't even work.
Yeah, it's got to actually achieve the goal.
Okay, what's the last part of the test?
The fourth part, probably the most important one, and this is where Central Hudson gets really interesting.
Oh, like interesting.
It asks, is the regulation narrowly tailored? Basically, is it the least restrictive way to do what the government wants to do? And this is where the Supreme Court kind of pushed back.
Oh, I bet.
They basically said, look, a total ban on all promotional advertising, that's too much. Like using a sledgehammer to crack a nut, you know?
I love that analogy.
All right.
So even if the goal's good, the government can't just go overboard. They have to find the least restrictive way to get there.
Exactly.
This narrowly tailored thing seems tricky. What would be some examples of less restrictive options in this case.
Well, instead of a total ban, the court said the PSC could maybe limit ads during like peak hours or required disclaimers about energy conservation, things like that.
Okay. So like still letting Central Hudson talk to the public,
yeah,
but in a way that's more mindful of saving energy.
Right. They were looking for a more, I guess you could say, nuanced approach, not a one-size-fits-all. This Central Hudson test is all about finding a balance between free speech and government regulation.
Yeah, it really is. Were all the justices cool with this new test, or were there some disagreements?
Oh, you know, even in a big case like this, there's always going to be some debate.
There's always a dissenter.
And those disagreements, they bring up some really interesting points that we still talk about today.
All right, we're back. And we're ready to dig into the dissenting opinions and the impact of Central Hudson. You mentioned some disagreements earlier.
Yeah.
Even in a landmark 8-1 decision, there's always room for debate, right?
Oh, absolutely. And in this case, even some of the justices who agreed with the outcome, they weren't totally on board with the Central Hudson test itself. Like Justices Brennan, Blackmun, and Stevens, they all wrote these separate concurring opinions, saying they were kind of worried that the test didn't do enough to protect commercial speech.
So they were basically like, hey, we agree the ban was wrong, but this test, not sure it's the best way to protect free speech in the long run.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They were worried the court was making it too easy for the government to restrict advertising down the road. They felt that truthful, non-misleading commercial speech, it should have more breathing room.
I can see that. I mean, consumers need info to make good decisions, right?
Right.
What about that one dissenter, Justice Rehnquist? What was his take?
So Justice Rehnquist, he wrote this pretty strong dissent. He argued that utilities, you know, because they're state-regulated monopolies, they actually deserved more oversight, mm-hmm, and that they shouldn't necessarily have the same free speech rights as other businesses.
So he was saying, hold on, these utility companies aren't just like any other store. They've got special privileges, a captive audience. It's reasonable for the government to have more say in their advertising.
Exactly. He was concerned that putting advertising above things like, you know, energy conservation or fair prices, that could actually hurt the public. His dissent raises some really important questions about how the First Amendment works with these state-regulated monopolies.
Yeah, it shows the tension between free speech for companies versus the government's job to protect consumers and make sure essential services are provided fairly. This case has a lot going on.
It does.
But why should we even care about Central Hudson in 2025? It was decided ages ago. What's its legacy?
Well, for one thing, the Central Hudson test, it's still what courts use when they're dealing with restrictions on commercial speech. It's been cited in tons of cases about everything from tobacco ads to restrictions on lawyers soliciting clients.
Wow. So it's not just some old case in a textbook. It's still shaping the legal world today.
Exactly. And the thing is, the Central Hudson test, it's been refined over the years as new challenges to commercial speech have come up. Like in 1996, there was the 44 Liquor Mart Inc. v. Rhode Island case. The Supreme Court struck down a Rhode Island law that banned advertising alcohol prices.
Interesting.
They said it wasn't narrowly tailored enough.
Ah, so the Central Hudson test, it's not set in stone. It's like a living document, constantly being interpreted for new situations. And I bet the internet and social media have made things even more complicated when it comes to regulating commercial speech.
Oh, absolutely. The questions from Central Hudson are more relevant than ever in the digital age. Think about all the debates we have now about online advertising, data privacy, even greenwashing. You know, companies exaggerating how environmentally friendly they are.
It's wild to think that a case from 1980 could be so relevant to all these modern issues. Like the court was setting the stage for a future they couldn't even imagine.
That's a great point. Central Hudson wasn't just about a utility company wanting to advertise. It was about finding that balance between individual freedoms and the government's role in protecting people. And that balance has gotten even trickier in our digital world.
So what are the key takeaways from our deep dive into Central Hudson so far?
I'd say the big one is that the courts are constantly trying to balance government regulation and free speech. They're always looking for that sweet spot where the government can protect people without squashing legitimate expression.
And it sounds like proportionality is the key. The government can't just have a good reason. They got to choose the least restrictive way to get there. No sledgehammers to crack nuts.
Right. Central Hudson teaches us that even when it's about something like advertising, there are limits on what the government can do. The First Amendment still matters, even in the business world. But this conversation isn't over yet.
I was going to say, There's got to be more.
We still have to unpack some stuff, especially when it comes to applying Central Hudson to the internet and all that.
Okay, we're back for the last part of our Central Hudson deep dive. And I'm ready to get into those modern-day challenges you were talking about. It's crazy how a case from 1980 can still feel so relevant.
I know, right? And a big reason for that is how much the advertising world has changed since Central Hudson. Back then, it was all about print, radio, TV. Now,
completely different.
Totally different.
Advertising is everywhere. Our phones, social media, even those smart speakers everyone's got in their homes. It's almost impossible to escape.
Exactly. And that explosion of advertising, especially online, brings up a big question. Does Central Hudson, you know, a framework from before the internet, does it even work for the complexities of commercial speech today?
It's a good question. I mean, on the one hand, you could say with so much information and misinformation flying around these days, the government needs to regulate advertising even more.
Yeah, there are definitely some valid concerns about protecting consumers, especially with things like targeted ads, data privacy, the potential for manipulation through algorithms. All that stuff.
But then again, consumers are a lot more savvy now than they were back in the 80s.
No.
We've got access to so much information. We can compare prices online, read reviews, do our own research before buying anything.
Right. And that makes you wonder, would stricter rules actually stifle innovation? Would they limit what consumers can find out? Maybe the answer is figuring out how to empower people to make smart choices instead of just relying on the government to step in all the time.
So what's the next step? Is the Central Hudson framework up for the challenge of 21st century advertising?
Yeah.
Or do we need something completely new?
That is the big question, and there are good points on both sides. Some legal scholars say, no, Central Hudson is flexible enough to adapt. They point to cases like 44 Liquor Mart that we talked about before as proof that the court's willing to use that narrowly tailored part of the test to shoot down restrictions that are too broad, even when things are changing.
So Central Hudson's like a classic car, vintage model, but with some upgrades, it can still run great in the modern world.
I like that. And remember, Central Hudson isn't only about advertising. It's about finding that balance, you know, individual freedoms versus the government's job to protect everyone. That push and pull is always going to be there, no matter the technology or the situation.
So at the end of the day, it's up to us, as citizens and as consumers, to be part of this conversation. Think critically about commercial speech and what role it plays.
Absolutely. Every time we see an ad online, TV, even a billboard, we should be thinking about those Central Hudson questions. Is this speech protected? Is the government's interest strong enough? Does the rule actually work? And most importantly, is it the least restrictive way to do it?
Big questions. And they remind us that the law isn't just some abstract thing. It affects the world around us, what we see, what we buy, the choices we make.
Well said. And that's why we do these deep dives. It's about going deeper, understanding the details of complex stuff, and giving ourselves the tools to join the conversation about the law, society, that whole balancing act between freedom and responsibility.
Couldn't have said it better. Thanks for joining us for this Central Hudson Deep Dives. It's been a wild ride.